today. I appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And we are glad for our guests that are here. Thank you for worshiping with us. Amen. And we just pray God will speak to our hearts. And I do want to say before I get into the message, I hope that you've made your plans to be at the revival service. I know most of you are very busy people. You have many obligations, but there's nothing more important for us as a church right now than to come together and seek God for revival. And I know there's things that happen and cannot be helped, but I just want to challenge you that whatever can be helped will be helped. And sometimes sacrifices have to be made, and sometimes hard decisions have to be made, but I promise you that if you'll choose the better part, God will bless you for it. And so just be here, be faithful. Men, step up and lead your families and be here with them throughout the week. And I pray that God will truly bring revival to our church. I thank you for the prayers that you've offered to the Lord. I thank you for those who have stepped up, and we called for a time of fasting this past week. And I thank you for those of you who have done that. And some of you maybe you skipped a meal or two or didn't eat for a day or two or whatever it was. Nobody needs to know. Those things are done privately. But I'm thankful for those who have taken that step. And we really need revival in our church today. Amen. And you might think, well, we're doing pretty good. I mean, look how great we're doing compared to the rest of the world. But, you know, we need to be revived for the sake of the world. We need to be revived that we might bring those who are in the darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. We need to be revived so that we can make a real difference in the world. And I talk to people on a regular basis who don't know the Lord, and we want to be used by Him to reach those people. So please pray for that. Pray for revival. And so today we continue studying in our study of Ephesians, and we're learning about the Spirit-filled family. And today we want to learn about children and parents, especially fathers today. And so we're going to pick on dads again a little bit today. But we need some men who will be godly men and lead their families in the right way. And I want to just remind you again, like I did last time, that just because I'm speaking to children, or just because I'm speaking to fathers, just because the text has been very specific, there are biblical truths that apply to all of us. You say, I don't have any kids. You say, my kids are all grown. Or you say, I'm not even married, or whatever the case is. Please understand that we all have a role to play in the church. We all have a role to play in the family. And we need to gain those truths to learn what we need to be. And then as we talk about parents, and then especially particularly fathers, I just want to encourage you, especially wives, to understand the calling that God's placed on your husband's life and what He expects from them, and that you would pray for him. Because one day, we're all going to give an account before the Lord. Husbands and wives, and children, one day we'll all give an account for what we did for the Lord, whether good or evil. And so we ought to pray and encourage one another rather than complain and murmur and put one another down. So let's stand together to read the Word of God today, if you're able. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please convict our hearts. I pray that children today will be convicted to obey and honor their parents. I pray that parents today will be convicted to be godly fathers and mothers, to train up their children in the right way. I pray for grandparents today, for single moms, for others who maybe haven't even begun a family yet. Lord, that you would help all of us to seek to have a Spirit-filled family. Lord, help us and help me now, for I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I just want to remind you very quickly that back in chapter 5 and verse 18, we were challenged to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day, that we would fill our mind and our heart with the Word of God, yield ourselves to the Lord, and die to self daily so that we can be Spirit-filled. We were challenged to be grateful and praise the Lord continually, that we would fill our homes with joy and gratitude and not complaining and anger. We were challenged to let the fear of God move us to submission to everyone else. He is God. He is Lord. He is the master of our lives. He is the master of our homes. And we should be, in the fear of God, submitted to one another. Husbands submitting to their wives, and wives to their husband, and children to their parents. That all of us would be in submission to one another. It's not just about dad being the head of the home and lording over his family. No, he is to submit to them. And as we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, Philippians 2, it tells us that Jesus Christ, who is equal with God, humbled himself and became a servant. And that's the mind that we ought to have, men, to humble ourselves and our families, and wives to humble themselves as well. We were challenged, fellas, to be a man, to be a man of God, to seek the face of God and the will of God, to lead your family in the right way, not to just sit back and let your wife handle it all and let her take care of those things, and not to be like one of these knuckleheads I meet on the street all the time. I'll knock on the door and the fellow will answer the door and I'll say, "I'm from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church," and he'll say, "Hang on, I'll get my wife. She handles all that kind of stuff." Don't be like one of those guys. Be a man. That's not a man. It's not a man that lets his wife and children dictate what we're going to do spiritually. That's not a man. Be a man that says, I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to know the Word of God. I'm going to know the will of God and the way of God. And I'm going to lead my family in that way. And my wife might not like it, and my kids may not like it, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to be men of God. We need to love our wives with a Christ-like, sacrificial, self-replacing, secure, and a smart love to dwell with them according to knowledge. We need to know Jesus Christ, to know the love that he has for his church, and then we need to love our wives the way that he did. We need to put our wife ahead of ourselves. We need to assure her of our commitment to her through our words and our deeds. We need to work hard to know her and keep learning about her and strive to love her the way that Christ did. We need to love and train up our children in the right way. And so just remember, this all begins with being filled with the Spirit, that everybody in the house, starting every day and living throughout every day, seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I belong to you. Take over my heart, my mind, my life, and have your will in your way. You'll notice in our text today that the Bible tells children to obey their parents in the Lord, honor their father and mother. And then we'll notice in verse 4 that it singles out fathers to provoke not their children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, biblically, it is the father's primary responsibility. It is the primary responsibility of a father to train up his children in the right way. Now, in our society today, we don't view it that way. Most of the time, in most homes in America today, the task of teaching the children and raising the children is delegated to the wife. Now listen, most of the men need to go and work, and that's right and proper. But your job is not to go and work and bring home a paycheck and then sit in your lazy boy the rest of the day and the rest of your life and never be involved with teaching and training your children. In other words, dad, when you're there, you need to be there. You need to teach your children and train your children, be involved with instructing them in the way of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches us that the father is supposed to do that, and the wife, but especially the father. When you rise up and when you lie down, when you go out and when you come in, when you're in the way, everywhere in every situation, you to be training up your children in the way of the Lord. And it's not to be delegated to the wife, and mom, it's not to be delegated to somebody else. It's our responsibility to teach our children. And listen, what I'm trying to tell you today, I'm not even talking about, see, when I start talking about things like these, everybody assumes I'm talking about school, homeschool, or Christian school, or public school. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about that at all. What I'm talking about is when you are with your children, you're to be teaching your children. Yeah. when you are living your life, you're to be an example for your children. And it's vital for that. You know, there is an absence of fathers in America today. They tell me that 24 million children in the United States of America are growing up without a dad, and it's having detrimental effects in our society. Children who grow up in a home without a dad are 4 times more likely to end up in poverty. Children who grow up in a home without a dad are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teenager. 7 times. Children who grow up in a home without a dad are more likely to have behavioral problems. They're more likely to suffer from abuse and neglect. They're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. They're more likely to end up in prison. Children who grow up in a home without a dad are 2 times more likely to drop out of high school than children with a father in the home. And these are just statistics. And people want to say that these correlations don't indicate causality, but I think the evidence is overwhelming that dads are important. And if you don't care about the statistical evidence, that's fine. The Word of God says that dads are important. It's important for a man to understand his responsibility to his children. I read some more statistics that it kind of surprised me that actually, it's sad that it's just over half, but actually more men see that their role in raising their children is important more than women do. That men see that their job as being a dad is important. So the dads who are there see their job as very important, and that's good because you should. So I just want you to know that biblically God has told us that the father's role is very, very important in the home, and that no matter what your situation is, you would understand that it's important. And I would give this challenge to the church too. Because there are some families in our church where there's not a dad. Those dads have been called home. Or maybe there's other situations where dad's not there like he should be, or whatever the case may be. I'm just telling you that as a church, we need some men that'll step up and not only be a father to their own children, but that they'll be coaches and mentors to other children whose dad's not there. To love those kids and to care about those kids and to help them any way that we can. We as a church family ought to be family. Because I'm going to tell you about biblically, this is the way God designed it to be, but I'm going to tell you in reality, we mess things up and sometimes it isn't the way it's supposed to be. So now we've got to step in and fill the gap, and we need to see where there's a void, we need to see where there's something lacking, and we need to step up and be that for other people. And there are some moms that need some help and encouragement, and some kids that need some support and encouragement and training. And we don't need to just sit back and say, well, that's awfully sad. No, we need to step up and say, how can I help? What can I do? Amen? Okay, just checking. I want to talk to the children for just a little bit today. Children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think definitions are important. I like to share with you definitions, and I know a lot of you find definitions to be boring, but I think it's important that you understand what words mean. Don't you? It's important to know what a word means, because if you misunderstand the meaning of a word, it can really mess you up in life. Some of you are confused about those red, octagonally shaped signs. They have 4 letters on them, S-T-O-P. Some of you don't know what that sign means. Some of you think it means slow down. Some of you think it means speed up. But it's important to know that that actually means to stop. And if there's an officer anywhere around, he means that he understands it to mean that you need to stop and wait for a little while before you go again. See, definitions matter. The word obey means to hear as a subordinate. That is to listen attentively. I feel like I should read it again. To obey means to hear under as a subordinate, that is, to listen attentively. By implication, it means to obey or to heed or conform to a command or an authority. So to obey literally means to hear under. It means to listen attentively. It's to understand that an authority is speaking and I should obey. I should listen to what it says and do what it says. So, I don't know if any of your kids are like this, but sometimes it's so wonderful to know that God's helping us out, folks, because the word obey means to listen. And sometimes when you're talking to your children, you have to say, listen to me. And I can remember to this day. So just so you know, I want to blame this on my mom because it's entirely her fault. If I'm not looking at you, I'm not listening to you. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be offensive. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I was trained that way because when I was little, my mom would grab me by the face and she would say, look in mommy's eyes. Look in mommy's eyes. And my eyes would go, look at me and look, son, look right here. And to this day, I find myself with my children saying, right here, son. Right here. Look right here. Yeah, it's a lot like what you guys are doing right now. It's just, sometimes it seems like there's butterflies in the room. People are just kind of everywhere. But that word obey means to listen attentively. And we can't do what God wants us to do unless we hear what God wants us to do. And a child can't do what their parents say to do if they don't listen. And so many times you'll tell your children to go do something and they'll take off like they've heard, they've understood, they're going to execute. And then they go somewhere else. Take this and put it in your room. And they take it and they head towards their room and then they get distracted and go somewhere else. Right? It's like the old Family Circus cartoon. I mean, they're just everywhere and nowhere that they're supposed to be. Why does that happen? Because there's not listening. Children, please hear me today. Listen to what your parents say so that you can do what your parents say. And why should you do that? Because the Bible says it is right. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Hey, kids, listen. You could do something today that would please God. And not just please Him, but the Bible says it would be well-pleasing to God. You could listen to what your parents say, and you could do it. What an exciting truth to know you can please the Lord. You can do something to please God in heaven, and it starts with listening. You know, there's a great example of this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Abraham was a grown man, but the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. You see, Abraham is a perfect example of what children ought to do. God spoke to him and he said, Abraham, get up and go to a place that I will show you. So he got his family, he packed up and he went. He didn't know where he was going. Didn't matter where he was going. God said, get up and go. So he got up and went. And so kids, when your parents speak to you, you need to listen and you need to do what they say. And you don't have to know why. I almost always have a reason for telling my children to do anything. And even if that reason is just to see if they'll do what I tell them, I have a reason. I think it's good for kids to have inquisitive minds. I think that it's good for them to want to understand what's happening and why it's happening and the process of things. I think that's great. But sometimes, kids, you just need to do what you're told. You know why this is so important, men? Because if you'd have learned to obey your parent when you were young, then you would find it much more easy to obey God now. You see, I see in us as adults the same problems we had when we were kids. God says to do something and we go, why? How? When? I don't understand. I need more details. If I do that, what's going to happen next? And we want to analyze and scrutinize and question everything God tells us to do. And what we ought to be is like Abraham. And Abraham, God spoke to him and said, go, and he went. And as he obeyed, God revealed more to him. And the story of Abraham, friends, is the story of us. We're here today because Abraham believed and obeyed God. And if your children are ever going to be where God wants them to be, you're going to have to believe and obey God. You see, that faith gets passed on. And so it starts with hearing, listening, and it follows through with that obedience. Now, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes I think that parents make too big of a deal out of their children obeying them. And I know some of you grandparents think this. Pick on all the grandparents for a second. How many of you grandparents have ever told your kids to ease up on you told your children to ease up on your grandkids? How many of you have done that? Some of you need to put your, I've heard some of you do it, so put your stinking hands up. Been a little rough on them. Let me just clear this up. Baloney. You were 10 times rougher on your kids. And some of you are like, don't you do that in front of them. You better not whoop them in front of me. Uh-huh. Yeah, it didn't faze you to whoop us in front of your mama and daddy. Woodshed my foot right there in the middle of everybody. Woodshed. My mom and daddy never took me behind any woodshed. Mama just line us up right there in the living room, grandpa watching. See, I remember. Let me just help you out. We've got this legacy that we want to set. And it gets passed on from generation to generation. Some of you think your kids are being too hard on your grandkids, but I promise you, you want your kids to raise your grandkids right. Amen. Sometimes I'm even that way. I see Abigail's 11 now, and we have not always done, let me confess, we have not always handled our children right. I'll let you recover for a second. I know you're shocked. We haven't always handled discipline right. We haven't always handled anything right. And I remember, and I look at young parents now, we'll go to a restaurant. I remember what it was like, man. Abigail, any little thing out of line, and we're off to the bathroom, man. We're going to straighten this kid out. And now we've got four of them, and they're maniacs, and another young couple will be there with their little one, and any little thing happens, boy, they're off to the bathroom, and I'm like, just shaking my head. But you know what? Disobedient children, it's a big deal. Let me just show you real quick what a big deal it is. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you might be thinking, man, you're supposed to be preaching to the kids that they would obey, not tearing the parents up. But I want you to understand, parents, why it's such a big deal for your children to obey. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You ready? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Just stop right there. I want you to think with me for a second about perilous times. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I think about perilous times in the last days, I'm thinking about wars and rumors of wars. I'm thinking about famines and pestilence. I'm thinking about nation rising against nation. I'm thinking about earthquakes in diverse places. You guys with me? I'm talking about signs of the times. The end of the world is coming kind of stuff. And all of that is true. You can study it in Matthew 24. It's all right there. Jesus says, this is just the beginning of sorrows. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning of trouble. And the trouble that's going to come is going to be far worse than you could ever imagine, far worse than has ever been seen. And if God didn't shorten that time, not anything or anyone would survive it. And so just the beginning of trouble is going to be so bad we can't comprehend. But I want you to look at this, especially parents that got kids at home. Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What's the next three words? Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In the midst of this whole text about the end times and the last days and perilous times, the Bible says in verse 2, disobedient to parents. This is a sign of the times, friends. This is the end times. This is one of the big things that God puts right in the middle of it. When you see this in the last days and you see parents who have children that won't obey them, when you see children that are disobedient and disrespectful and unthankful and unholy, you're going to know that it's perilous times. It's a big deal for your kids to learn to obey. If our children don't learn to respect the authority that we have, they'll never learn to respect the authority of God. That's what it's about. Why do we want them to obey the laws of the land and respect the authority of the police officers and the judges and all those people? Because they represent the authority that God has placed in our lives. It's not about mom and dad. It's not about the judge. It's not about the president. It's not about the police officer. It's not about all of that. It's about the ultimate authority, God. And that's why children learning to obey is so important. And I don't know about you, but it's a terrifying thing. I've seen so many children who do not obey their parents, from little bitty kids all the way up to teenagers. And I want to tell you, I don't think it's cute, and I don't think it's funny. Right. Amen. I've told you guys so many times, I'll tell you again, I mean, when Abigail was very little, I remember seeing a mom chasing her toddler through Walmart parking lot in Sallisaw, Oklahoma, and she's just yelling at this kid to stop, and that kid is just laughing and running ahead. And she caught him just before he got to the end of the aisle, and this big jacked up Ford truck came flying through at the end of the aisle. And if she hadn't caught him just a few seconds different, that kid would have been dead. And I thought in that moment, my kids are going to listen when I say stop. They don't always. But that's my goal. You say, well, yeah, man, that's scary. Kid could have got run over. You know what? It doesn't get any safer. They get older and they think it's a game to try to trick their parents. And let me help some of your older kids out today, some of you teenagers that think you're so much smarter than your parents. You're gonna wake up in about a decade and realize how stupid you were. Somebody else amen that, please. I mean, can we just do a quick poll? How many of you went through a phase where you thought your parents were dumb? You didn't? Really? Put your hand up. Go ahead, Brian, put your hand up. He's going to sit somewhere else next Sunday. I remember some of those thoughts that I had about how my parents were so dumb and they just didn't know. Teenagers are whiny. I love you guys, by the way. I really do. I tell you these things because I love you. Amen. You're going to wake up one day and realize how dumb you were. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to be on the phone. Some of you girls especially are going to be crying, calling your mama, wanting to know what to do with this kid. And you're probably, if you got any sense, going to apologize to your mother for being so stupid. Did I do this to you? Because I don't know what to do with this kid. If a child doesn't learn to obey their parent, they won't learn to obey God. Disobedient children are in a dangerous position. Physically. The little boy almost got killed in the parking lot. But you could give a billion other examples. The teenager who doesn't listen to their parents about their curfew, or they don't listen to their parents about being grounded and they sneak out at night. Many children's lives have been lost because they didn't obey their parents. Many children's lives have been changed by things that they did, disobeying their parents, that they can never unchange. But it's far more serious than that. Because they're not only in physical danger, they're in spiritual danger. You see, this is the first commandment with promise. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God gives a promise. Children, not only obey your parents because it's right and well-pleasing to the Lord, but honor them. And now we abandon age limits. Because there comes a time when a child grows up and they become a man or a woman and they go out on their own. And you don't have to mind mom and dad anymore. Mama's not there to tell you to brush your teeth before you go to bed. And daddy's not there to tell you to pick your clothes up or to turn the light off when you're done in the room and all those different things. But you never outgrow honoring your mother and father. To honor means to prize. It means to fix a value upon. It means to revere them. You ought to honor your mother and father. And some of you today are here and you go, if you knew my mama and my daddy, you wouldn't say to honor them. And I know that some of you come from ungodly homes and ungodly parents and ungodly backgrounds. But here's what you need to understand today, and this is important for you to understand. No matter how young or old you are, God says to honor them. Amen. And that means that we ought to value them and respect them because God said so. Amen. You say, my folks are worthless. Well, they're not worthless because you wouldn't exist if it wasn't for them. Amen. And you say, well, you don't know what they put me through. God did. Amen. A lot of people will be angry with God because of the parents they had growing up. And I want to challenge you to be careful not to be angry with God about anything. Amen. Who do we think we are? Amen. To be angry with the Creator of all things? Amen. The next time you want to shake your fist at God because you're upset with your upbringing, your parents, or whatever tragedy that has befallen you, I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm sorry for any suffering that you've gone through. I really am. I'm sorry. But the reality is, the same God who breathed out the stars is the same God who allowed you to go through what you've gone through. Amen. And you're here today. Amen. You're here today. And God can use the experiences that you've had in ways that I'll never understand. My parents are not perfect. They never will be. But they loved me. And I knew they loved me. I was blessed in that way. Some of you grew up, and to this day, you still don't know if your parents love you or not. And I can't imagine the pain of that. I'm not going to pretend to. But you can help somebody that is going through that I could never be able to help them in the same way. You see what God has brought us through. You say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. There's a lot of truth to that. What God has brought you through, He's strengthened you through, He's refined you through, and He can use you in greater ways. And I'll say this, we ought to strive not to be better parents than our parents were, but to be the parents God has called us to be. Whether your parents were lousy or your parents were great, doesn't matter. Don't even try to compare. Just be the parents that God wants you to be. Honor, value, esteem worth to your parents. Of all the different sins that Jesus could call out on the Pharisees, He chose this one in Matthew chapter 15. I want you to look at it real quickly as we get ready to close today. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I want you to get this. Of all the things that Jesus could have made accusation against the Pharisees, he chooses this one. They had traditions that said, you honor your mother and father. They took care of you growing up. When they get old and can't take care of themselves, you take care of them. But the Pharisees had created a tradition where they could just give a little gift and they could remove themselves and say, I'm not responsible for you anymore. I don't have to take care of you anymore. You're on your own. And they would justify themselves by doing this little thing and then saying, I don't have to honor them. I don't have to provide for them. They're not my responsibility. And they were basically putting their parents out. They weren't taking care of them the way that they were supposed to. I want you to get this. We quote this verse all the time. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Where did that come from? They're dishonoring of their mother and father. See, God sees it as a big deal that children obey their parents. And he sees it as a big deal that children honor their mother and father. It is something that we have abandoned in our society today. We don't obey, we don't honor. Mom and dad are just a paycheck. Mom and dad are just there to make sure my cell phone stays on. Make sure that I got plenty of video games to play. That's what parents are for these days. I want to tell you, friends, we need to be the kind of parents God's called us to be. We need to train our children to be obedient and to honor mother and father. The people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and their honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Listen, but in vain they do worship me. Their worship is empty. Their worship means nothing. Why? Because they haven't honored my commandment to honor their mother and father. You see a kid disobey his parents, and you think the parents are overreacting, and you just think it's cute, you think it's silly, you think it's not a big deal. I want to tell you, God says it's a big deal. Our kids aren't going to be perfect. And if you're expecting perfection from your children, you're surely going to be disappointed. But we ought to expect obedience. And we ought to train our children up in the right way. And Lord willing, next week we'll talk a little bit more about parents and especially fathers. But this morning we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. So we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while our musicians are coming, will you stand with me, please? Children, no matter what your age is today, I want you to take away these two words. Obey and honor. Listen to what your parents say and do it. And all of us here today who still have parents living, honor them. Assign value to them. And understand that their authority in your life is there because God put it there. And that relationship is a reflection of the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. So it's important that we get it right. I don't know what the Lord may be convicting your heart about today, but I know this. this picture of the family, it matters so much, because we can become part of the family of God when we repent of our sin and we trust in Christ alone as our Savior. When we do that, we're adopted into the family of God. We're born again as a child of God. And God becomes our heavenly Father. That can't happen if we won't humble ourselves and repent of our sin and trust in Christ. If you need to be saved today, trust in Him. And if you haven't been the right kind of parent, the right kind of child, get your heart right with the Lord today while we sing.
Page 560.